real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700, The Champ.
Good afternoon. Welcome in once again. The Drive on the air with you, Trent Conn and Wolfgang. Bringing you home on a Monday afternoon. Plenty to get into here today. We got NFL. We got college football to talk about. Iowa State off the bye week. Iowa with a win. How about those UNI Panthers knocking off second-ranked South Dakota State? We'll get into that and a whole lot more here from 4 until 6 o'clock. Coming up at about 4:20, Tad Haslip will be by from the Sporting News. We'll talk NFL with him. 4:40, a lot on the Hawkeyes with Steve Batterson of the Quad City Times. And in the 5 o'clock hour, we're talking baseball. We'll preview the World Series with Zach Reimer with BleacherReport.com. Wolfgang, you made it back from Iowa City. You didn't get left there, not in a gutter. And you're back. How you feeling?
Love it. It's good to go to a game for the first time in a couple years. I got to see the wave, Trent. Mm-hmm. I've never experienced that in person.
Oh, really?
Nope. I did not go. So I hadn't been to a game this year or last year. I gave them up when I started the Saturday show here at 1700 2 years ago. And so, I hadn't seen it. And, gosh, I loved it, man. It's like, I think I've heard your partner, Ken Miller, you guys are on from 11 to 1 now, by the way, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard him say, you get a little bit more sensitive or something happens to you when you start getting older or something like that. It's just like, I had to start thinking about something else because I was like feeling like I was getting emotional, man. Just a wuss. And that's not a bad thing. I'm not making fun of myself. Actually, I am. But it was awesome. It was awesome to tailgate. We had it right on the wind, man. We were the first one talking about that stuff. I was telling some of the people at the tailgate. When I brought up the wind, like I saw this look on your face. You got right on the computer and you were trying to find out the weather forecast and all this stuff because Trent's a big gambler. But, dude, I loved it. I thought it was great. It's fun.
It was an angle that not many people were talking about earlier in the week, and, well, that's why we're the place you should be on your drive home every day, because we actually talk about pertinent things as it relates to sports, and that's what we'll try to do with you each and every day. Let's get into what we saw at Iowa City on Saturday. First of all, let's talk about that win, the impact that it is. And if you're watching on television, I don't even think that going back and watching the replay, they even explained well enough just – not only was it incredibly windy,
mm-hmm.
and one of the questions that I had with the new north end zone, how big of an impact that was. When they were very close to that end where they were, say, at the 30-yard line plus in the north side, the wind wasn't as prevalent there.
Okay.
But the changing of directions, you felt that. All right, it's coming in from the north. No, I think it's coming in from the east. No, I think it's coming from behind us now. You talk about swirling winds. That was epitomized on Saturday at Kinnick.
It was, and I'm trying to point out to everybody watch this, because you're watching this, and you watch the refs' pants. Did you see that? How their pants were just about ready to come off. I thought they were going to be deep pants, and we're going to have some rated X moment on live television. We get to see some stuff we necessarily don't want to see.
Right.
And then, you know, so you'd see it, and then it stopped for maybe 1.5 seconds.
Yeah.
And then, boom, all of a sudden, their pants are about ready to come off again. And then you look at the flag, the flags on each of the goalposts. Did you see this, Trent? The flag on one of the goalposts at the very top was going one way, and the flag on the other goalpost at the other end was going the other way.
Right.
What are you supposed to do, man? Seriously, at what point do you just go, let's just win the game?
Mm-hmm.
Let's not get cute here and get fancy and be all stuck on ourselves with the offense we've had over the past couple few weeks, okay? Mm-hmm. And you know what? Just win the game. We didn't get too cute, I don't think, Trent. You could have. We could have. I mean, you like hearing that. You like reading those articles on Hawkeye Nation or in the newspapers, right? Look at this new offense. Look at the pedal to the metal, the, you know, foot on the gas. Just win the game, Brian Ferentz. And that's what he did, Trent.
Yeah, and you can see right away, concerted effort, first time down the field. Run the football. And we're seeing more and more of this offense. It's not just strictly zone blocking scheme, a lot of gap blocking, straight up ISO plays, a few counters in there. But it was an effort right away. We are going to run the football. And the first time they throw the football,
yeah,
disaster struck.
Yeah.
Terrible throw by Stanley. Under pressure. I don't know if he was trying to throw it away, what it was. Ball sailed on him. Interception. But like, all right, here we go. But MVP of the game. The MVP for me, I think, is very easy. It's Miguel Rosinos. Miguel Rosinos,
interesting.
In those conditions, to knock in two field goals to get them to lead early.
And how long were those? Were short, really short.
They were, yeah. The first two were under 30 yards.
Okay.
But Wolfgang, in those conditions, yeah, that's an incredibly difficult kick. The other one, I think, was 36. 3 for 3, kicked off well, did exactly what they wanted to. A win game, you got to have a good kicker. And Miguel Recinos, who has had some testy moments this year, he played really well on Saturday.
And I was tweeting and texting with somebody that everybody would know and knows his stuff and blah, blah, blah. And I thought he was kind of poo-pooing the weather aspect, Trent. He wasn't at the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I was basically like, I think you might have to be here. It was crazy. It was crazy. We lost a full bag of Cheeto Puffs, man.
So that's a bad day there.
If you had a bag of Cheeto Puffs that hit you in the head, I do apologize, but please email them to 65. But no, it was very interesting. And I think it's one of those things you might have had to have been there. I mean, you could sit there and watch on television, and I rewatched the game, maybe half of it, and I went, I don't really want to watch the rest of it. It was kind of weird.
Yeah.
It was just one of those things. I don't really think this is, I'm just going to read up on it. I was there. I saw it. You know, I followed the ball. When I go to live games, Trent, I like to, because I don't think a lot of times how great it is, even where we are right now with HD TV and the camera angles and everything, a lot of times you just can't see what the receivers are doing, if they're running good routes.
Mm-hmm.
Are they getting separation? Is Nathan Stanley seeing that in time? Is he late on it? Is he too early? So I try to watch other things that I actually can't see on television, and then I was going to go back and watch the ball, which I mostly did for maybe whatever I watched, the first half. But I think this is my angle for the game, Trent, that makes me so happy. And you brought it up first last week, and I reluctantly, totally 100% agreed with you, is that you basically said that you had almost no fear of losing this game.
Yeah.
And
I couldn't come up with a realistic scenario where I didn't win the football game.
That is so weird for me. I don't know about you. I'm not going to speak. That's weird for me because I can find a reason that I think one of my favorite teams is going to lose anytime. Now, I'm not overly negative or any of that stuff. That's not who I am, but I can find a way. I was so confident going into this game, and I'm sitting there watching this game, man, and I'm going, at not one point, Trent, did I ever go, this is even, I'm even remotely scared that we're going to lose this game. We freaking dominated them.
A running game that came in averaging almost 250 yards per game in Maryland, couldn't run the football. Parker Hesse, this is why Parker Hesse plays. He was making plays, but most importantly, he was setting the edge. He was funneling things inside. He didn't let those jet sweeps get outside. That's why he is playing as many snaps as he is. Is he a better pure pass rusher than A.J. Epenesa? No, he's not. But there is a reason. There is a method to the madness. Yes, I know a lot of people think they know more than the coaches. Not the case here.
Why are you looking at me, pointing right at me?
And you saw that with Parker Hesse. He played at a high level. The defense on the field, all of 39 plays, too. I mean, that's domination right there.
It is. And I don't know why I didn't want to watch it again. I guess it was semi-boring.
It was, yes.
But it's fun to watch domination. I mean, it's just one of those things.
Different kind of domination.
But they know we're basically not going to pass and that we're going to run. And we still got 4.3 yards per clip, or am I wrong there?
Yeah, something like that.
Something close to that. So they know what we're going to do, and we still did it. I want to bring up one thing that I haven't heard anybody mention. It's probably a small thing. I think it was in the first half, Trent. I love quarterbacks, and I don't need you to be some stud 4-4 guy at quarterback. I don't need that. But I love a quarterback a couple times a game that gets a first down with his legs just because. Did you see Stanley?
Oh,
was that not a designed play?
It was, yeah. It was called out of the huddle.
I love that going. That was 39, and he got, I don't know how many he got, but he got it easy.
He got 16. That'll probably be a career high for him, I'm going to guess.
He was moving okay. You don't have to be a 4-4 guy.
No, and he's not.
So do a little bit of the juking stuff that Iowa Purdy does.
Purdy's got a little more.
Too, man. That sucks. But he does little this, a little that. He recognizes it right away. You know, stuff like that.
But Nate Staley's not nearly as fluid as Brock Purdy.
Oh, I agree.
Yes, yeah, I mean, yeah. Stanley.
Oh, not even close. Yeah,
he doesn't
I'm sorry, I wasn't going there.
He doesn't have the hips quite to do that and pump faking outside the pocket.
But it's kind of cool that you agree with me. That was a design play. I'm sorry, I have not heard any talk on this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's no obvious designed play.
Yes, yeah.
That makes me happy.
Smart play. Not going to throw the football effectively, but you spread everything out. You haven't called it this year?
He's a big dude. He can take. You don't want him getting killed. You don't want any quarterback getting killed. The dude's 244. Okay? He's put together pretty well. I loved it. I loved it because it's just a couple times. You know, Beathard ran a horrible 40-yard dash time. You remember that?
Yeah.
We all know he's faster than that.
Mm-hmm.
Or if he just recognizes it better or what he does.
Gamer.
His 40 time was horrible.
Gamer.
Literally horrible. Yes, he's a gamer. He knows what he's doing. So that 40-yard dash time, sorry, CJB, that Iowa State game and some other games where he would get a first down when nothing was there with his legs, that's something that is great. And the fact that we called, Iowa called that play, Brian Ferentz called that play, a designed run with Nathan Stanley, and you don't think of Nathan Stanley as a guy that we would ever call that for. I loved it, man. I got out of my seat. I don't know if anybody else. Actually, everybody did appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
There was a pretty good cheer for that.
Another great play late in the first half as Iowa still, as much as they dominated the first half, they're only up 6-0. And I hated the way that, as you're praising Brian Ferentz, him and Kirk managed the clock late. They call their final timeout, set up one more play. You take a sack there, it's half over. Because you don't have a timeout.
Yeah.
I thought they managed the clock terribly there. It worked out well because of the play by Brandon Smith in the back of the end zone. That was a beauty. You can see why we continually hear, in practice, ... this guy's a stud. Plays like that. Now it's showing up on the field a lot more.
That was, yeah, I initially thought it was, I thought it was fans or something where we were sitting. Anyway, we had awesome seats. And, yeah, but it was just, oh, I loved it. Just absolutely loved it. Great pass. I'm surprised he called that. Actually, I don't know that I would have called that.
Well, what else?
You had to do that.
Yeah,
because no timeouts left. You had to go into the end zone or make sure it was out of bounds. There's 12 seconds or 13 seconds left, something like that. Now that you're bringing that up, I wish I would have. I did rewatch it, and I heard you said you had a problem with the clock management. And let me tell you what. There's almost no coach alive that I don't have a problem with anything that they do in clock management.
Yeah.
I can't think of one that I agree. I mean, they're really dumb on that. I mean, I'm talking coaches.
Can't you just get like some 18-year-old kid that just plays Madden all day? Set him up there and say, this is how you actually do it. Knock it off. Because so many coaches are terrible
Who's
at it.
Who's the Arizona State coach?
Nice Herm
man.
Edwards.
Nice man. Love him. He just seems like a good. I'd love that dude as my neighbor, man. He would not let any of his leaves come into my yard that I just raked all day. No, that guy is a great human being. But when he was with the Jets, he was so bad at it. I believe they actually hired somebody to sit over there and tell him stuff like that.
Should.
Why not?
Should.
Everybody has weaknesses, you know? Dude, I respect that. The fact that he was okay with that, he was like, you know what? That might be a weakness of mine. This is going to cost us games, which will eventually cost me my job, which will eventually, you know? Good. I like that kind of stuff. So, and no way am I bashing the Iowa coaching staff. I think they're better than most coaches, definitely. But it happens every weekend over and over again. You go, I don't understand what you're doing right now with your timeouts, how you're using them. It's just, yeah, it's tough, man.
There is a lot more to talk about in college football, though, than just Iowa. We're going to get into that in the top five at five. Ohio State gets throttled by Purdue.
Woo.
Somebody told you on Friday about that.
Trent Connan, everybody. Mad props to TC. He called this. He not only picked Purdue to cover the 12.5 spread, he picked Purdue to win outright.
Straight up.
Straight cash, homie. Bet the farm. Got to feed them pigs. Got to feed them hogs.
We both had a good performance. We're both in the positive after 1 week of our pick segment on Friday. Don't want to miss that each and every Friday here on The Drive. With that, we're going to take a break. We're going to talk more football here. We're going to talk the NFL coming up next. The Vikings trending in the right direction. The Bears, are they taking a step back? We'll get into that. And maybe we have to start talking about the Detroit Lions in the NFC North. Another win. This time against Miami, are we sleeping on the Lions? Plus, of course, Kansas City and another dominating performance out of the Chiefs last night. We'll get into that a whole lot more. Tad Haslett from the Sporting News. He joins us next on The Drive, 1700 The Champ.
Wake up with the all-new morning show on 1700 The Champ. Taz and the Moose. Every weekday morning from 5 to 8. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
It's green, moron.
Come on, move it, you clown.
1700, The Champ. Right now, traffic.
Right now, we have an accident on 86th Street going southbound at Northwest 62nd Avenue. Currently, though, that's our only issue out there. All other areas and routes are looking good. Drive safe, Des Moines, and have a great afternoon.
This report is sponsored by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is simple so you can understand the details and be sure you're getting the right mortgage. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Visit rocketmortgage.com today. Licensed in all 50 states, equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
Looks like we have another contestant for Russian Roofer Roulette. Place your bet. Choose from unmet expectations, we overpromise and underdeliver, or we'll carelessly drag our ladder over your daffodils. Let's log on to Google and play.
I'm Ryan Johnson, owner of Wright Roofing. Before you play Russian Roofer Roulette, give us a call. Wright Roofing is one of the only local roofers with a 50-year warranty on both the shingles and the labor. So you know that when we roof it, we'll roof it once and we'll roof it right. For a warranty on materials and labor that's five times longer than most companies, call Wright Roofing at 515-729-0770, where we say you choose the color, we'll handle the rest. That's 729-0770, or find us online at rightroofing.com. That's rightroofing.com with an R.
Roof it once, roof it right, right roofing.
Yo, we driving, yeah. We living our best life and my car smells fresh.
Yeah,
but we weren't always thriving, it was you, girl.
Told you so.
Who pointed out that smell?
That's right.
Now it's all fun, the odor's gone. Febreze car works so well. Come on, keep driving, let's go.
Oh boy, your car smells nice.
Febreze car, yeah, yeah, let's go.
That's right.
No more odors in my ride now, let's go.
It's one thing to be aware of breast cancer. It's another to do something about it. Here's to the heroes who lift each other up and make a difference, who get out there, take action. Every step, every dollar, every voice matters. Join us in the fight against breast cancer and be a hero. Get registered today for the Susan G. Komen Des Moines Race for the Cure on October 27th and help us provide life-saving research and breast health services to women in our community. Visit KomenGreaterIowa.org/DMRace to get registered today.
Are you interested in starting a new franchise? You can find a lawyer right here in the state of Iowa to help with your franchise law needs. Rushnigan with Brick Gentry Law PC provides law services for those involved in starting a new franchise. Find more information online at rushonbusiness.com, where Rushnigan can assist you in buying or starting a new franchise. A presenting sponsor of the 2018 high school football season on 1700 KBGG. Brick Gentry Law PC and Rushnigan.
This year, it's our year.
No, no, no. This year, it's my team.
Yeah, this is the year.
This season, everyone is going to know where I'm tailgating.
My team, my colors, my flag.
Hello, it's why I fly the flag.
This is the year you fly the colors of your favorite team. And you'll find those colors at Heartland Flagpoles and Flags. The largest selection of team flags anywhere. Every team, every sport, every flag. Almost. Buy online and get free shipping. HeartlandFlags.com.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company, and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we believe in honest work, a fair price, and work we stand behind. And our 10-year workmanship warranty proves it. We know roofing. With our one-day get-it-done approach, we're known as a roofing machine. Call Wolf Construction for a free estimate at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. At Wolf Construction, we take your roof personally.
Does overpaying for something make sense? We don't think it does at Charterhouse Real Estate. That is why we have completely changed the commission structure at our real estate firm from what you are used to hearing about. Gone are the days of 6 or 7% to sell your home. We charge $24.95 plus 3%. Don't worry if that sounds a bit odd. Just know that on average, our sellers save thousands in real estate commission when they sell their home with us. The best part is our sellers still get full service, including social media marketing, their home on the MLS, a dedicated agent, and much more. Head to charterhouseiowa.com and use our calculator there to see what your savings could be. We are Charterhouse Real Estate, and we are changing the way you think about selling your home.
Charterhouse Real Estate is a team office under Space Simply.
The Drive with Wolfgang and Trent Condon. Real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 The Champ.
Back with you on a Monday. It's The Drive on 1700 The Champ. Glad to have you aboard with us. Well, we talked to Wolfgang, a lot of Hawkeyes there in segment number one. We'll get back into the Hawks with Steve Batterson later on this hour. But Do you have a chance to watch much NFL? Were you still recuperating from Iowa City yesterday?
I did. I watched a little bit of the Bears game. Mm-hmm. I watched a little bit, the Bears New England game. I actually had some, that was one of my bets, and we thought it was one of yours, but it looks like it may not have been one of your bets. But yeah, no, I love the NFL. I'm looking forward to watching who gets out of this. Is it the Bears? Is it the Packers? Is it the Vikings? I happen to think the Vikings have by far the better roster, the best roster, but they've played the most difficult schedule up to mm-hmm. this point. So it's going to be fun to see what the Vikings do the rest of the way. Now, you've seen the Lions. I don't know anything about the Lions. I haven't watched them. I watched them one game.
Yeah, against New England, probably. Yeah. And they look really good, a terrible start. Maybe a team we need to be talking about more. Let's get into that right now and more. Tad Haslip joins us from the Sporting News. Good afternoon, Tad. How are things out east?
Not too bad. How are things out there?
Everything's going well. Glad to have you with us here on a Monday as we recap and maybe take a peek at Monday Night Football. Probably not, though. We want to start here, though, in the NFC North. And the Vikings came into the year as a favorite. The Packers were right behind them in terms of Vegas betting numbers that were out there to win the division. You know, the Bears, after what they did, bringing in Khalil Mack. And then there's the forgotten fourth team, and it's for us because of proximity. There aren't nearly as many Lions fans as there are the other three in this market. But should we start believing in Matt Patricia and the Lions? Is it a mirage? Give us a hit first on Detroit.
Yeah, I think it's a little too early with a rookie coach. I mean, totally buy in, but you have to be impressed with what you've seen just in terms of the big-time struggle in that Jets game on Monday night to start the season. I mean, that was an absolute disaster. And then you reel off a few good wins after that. Of course, they've already had their bye week, so that helps. And then they're able to get a big win coming off the bye. So you're seeing signs of kind of like a gritty team that you would expect from a team coached by Matt Patricia. And look, the bottom line is this guy, this coach, promised in the offseason his first goal was going to be to fix the running game. Mm-hmm. How many coaches come in and do exactly what they're going to say from the get-go? I mean, Kerryon Johnson is breaking Lions records, and he's a rookie. Not necessarily Lions records, but, I mean, he's doing things that the Lions have not done in a long time on the ground, and the team itself is doing things that this team has not done in a long time on the ground. And I think that's a credit to Matt Patricia in delivering on his promise to not only fix that running game, but the defense is improving too. So in the grand scheme of things in the division, you kind of mentioned it, the Vikings and the Packers are going to be tough to be at the top. We've known that all along, even before the season, and the Bears, of course, have improved dramatically this year. So, you know, it's a tough division to predict, and the Lions are just kind of, you know, along for the ride at this point. But in future years, you know, I think if you're a Lions fan, you got to be pretty encouraged by the start with Matt Patricia for sure.
All right, Tad, this is Wolfgang. Good to meet you. Appreciate you coming on, sir.
Nice to meet you, Wolfgang.
Yeah, thank you. I want to talk about the Vikings real quick. A lot of Vikings fans here in Central Iowa. I loved them preseason. I never ended up making my actual pick of who was going to be to the Super Bowl because I could not get information on their O-line. I just wasn't sure if they were going to be good enough. I thought if they could protect Cousins, they might have something. So far, what have you seen from the Vikings, and do you like where they might be at the end of the season?
I do. I think the O-line is going to continue to be the concern, right? I mean, I don't see any way that that's going to improve. Now, the schedule in terms of the teams they play, it lightens up a bit. Of course, you still have to play the Bears twice. That's not ideal. And of course, the Saints game coming up, that's going to be an interesting one, too, to see how that offensive line holds up. But, you know, I think with what you've seen in the passing game with Kirk Cousins and the fact that the running game, even without Dalvin Cook, has been good enough over the last couple weeks is certainly very encouraging. And we know the big stories around the defense. Obviously, the injury bug is starting to bite them a little bit, so that is a little bit of a concern. But with the Mike Zimmer coach team, you kind of trust that unit to at least be strong throughout the season and give you that baseline of defense that you can rely on, even if the offense is going up and down. I will say with the Vikings, it's funny, we did a top 10 receiver ranking at the beginning of the season, and Stephon Diggs cracked that list at number 10, and Adam Thielen did not. We might have been wrong on that one. I mean, Adam Thielen is just absolutely insane. He's been underrated by a lot of people, including us. just the fact that he doesn't have a weakness. I mean, he's fast. He's long. He can play in the slot. He can play outside. He can do everything you want, and you have an accurate quarterback in Kirk Cousins who's getting him the ball at, on time, and I think you're seeing the results. Obviously, he's talked about breaking records earlier. Adam Thielen out here breaking records with the Vikings, too. So, yeah, I do like where they're at this year.
you know, there's no way, Tad, to beat a team like New England, giving up a block punt, giving up a kick return. You don't have to play perfect, but you have to play better than the Bears did yesterday. They sit at 3-3. The Miami game's still a head-scratcher at times, giving away week one against the Packers. Bears fans, where should they be right now? Frustrated, excited about the future? Your thoughts on Chicago?
Well, I knew I'd get this kind of question from you, Trent. That's something I can count on from
yes.
week to week. No, I think you got to be excited about the future. And what's, you know, the one thing you're lacking right now, and that's okay because you have a second-year quarterback, is consistency. We've seen the offense play really well in spots. Obviously, the defense with the talent they have has played really well in spots. But you just saw against the Patriots, and, you know, this was kind of a weird game, like you mentioned, but there were some leaky spots. And, you know, when you're playing against the Patriots, like you said, that's probably to be expected. The next couple of weeks, you got the Jets and the Bills coming up, and then, of course, the Lions after that in a big division game. So maybe the defense recovers in those games. But honestly, we're talking about this division, and it does remain wide open, to be fair. The Bears are a good team. There's no reason that they can't take it still, but you still lean toward the Vikings and the Packers in it. So if you're the Bears, you know, you look at what this team is doing this season with a new head coach and Matt Nagy, and you have to be super, super encouraged by it for the future. And you have the defensive pieces in place too. So everything's in place right now. It's just a matter of building on that consistency. And maybe at the end of this year, maybe next year, the Bears are pretty much the clear team, number one team in this division. They're not there yet. But they're a lot closer than we thought they would be at this point in this season.
Yeah, Tad, was at a tailgating event this Saturday, and it's always interesting the things you start talking about that you have no idea why and or how you got there. We started talking about Philip Rivers. I have no idea why. Is he a Hall of Famer? Is he not? What's your thought on Philip Rivers and what the Chargers, what do you see out of them the rest of the year? They're going to get Bosa back at some point. I mean, they look legit, aren't they? Do you think?
Yeah, they are. And Rivers specifically, I wrote about this on Sunday after that game in London. It's kind of going, I don't want to say it's going unnoticed, but nobody's really talking about it. Maybe that's because people just generally don't like Philip Rivers. But he's having one of the best seasons of his career, by far, actually. His quarterback rating this year, I think, is 117, which is much higher than it was. I think his previous high was, I want to say 2013, it was like a 105 or maybe 2009, something like that. Mm-hmm. The point is, he's playing out of his mind. And, you know, they're dealing with injuries, too, out in L.A., and they're playing through it. And look, I know Kansas City is the favorite in this division, and I'll go a step further. Pat Mahomes is probably the favorite for MVP right now. But the Chargers are going to keep pressuring the Chiefs, and Phillip Rivers is probably going to keep pressuring Mahomes for that award. It's a really good team. They're a legit title contender. They're going into their bye at 5-2, and they're good. And with Rivers specifically, like with the Hall of Fame stuff, man, I don't know. Like this gets brought up with Eli Manning a lot. I generally think if you had to pick one, it would be Rivers. I mean, he's clearly the better player. I know there's the whole ring argument. Sometimes in these arguments, that drives me nuts. Philip Rivers has been the better quarterback throughout his entire career. So if you had to choose between the two, I think it's obvious it's Rivers. I just don't know if Rivers has done enough to get there. Now, statistically, he's going to be close, and he's going to have a really good argument. But you just, you know, where do you draw that line with quarterbacks? It's pretty tough, and Rivers might not make it. But this season specifically, if he keeps it up, watch out for the Chargers, man. That's a good team.
Tad Hassel joining us from the Sporting News. We're talking NFL. Tad, big move today as a first-round pick given up by the Dallas Cowboys to go out and get Amari Cooper. Cooper has not had the career many people anticipated when he made his way out of Alabama. Like the move, dislike, who got the better of the trade as you look at it here just a couple hours away?
Well, I think if you're weighing the two teams, I think it's pretty clear the Raiders got better of the move here simply because, I mean, they got a first-round pick for a guy, like you said, has not been playing like a former first-round pick. He's been playing more like a fourth-round pick. The Raiders are in rebuilding mode, and if you're able to get a first-round pick for a guy like that, I mean, that's a win no matter what. I will say this. I don't hate this move for the Cowboys. And I know it's risky. I understand that the Jones family has a history of taking risks like this on receivers, and it doesn't really ever work out. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's relevant here. I just think if you look at the Cowboys, their one clear weakness is the passing game. They're really good on defense. They have the running game on offense down path. The offensive line is still good, not what it was 2 years ago, but still good. It's the passing game. That's the one thing holding them back from taking what is pretty a weak division. Right now, there's no reason the Cowboys shouldn't be the best team in this division as it sits right now. So So maybe somebody like Amari Cooper, somebody who can get him over the top. I'm not saying he's going to, but I think it's worth the risk if you're Dallas here. And even giving up draft picks, you have your quarterback in place. Like I said, you have the defense, which is led by a ton of young talent. You got all that in place, so why not take the risk? Go ahead and try to win the division this year and try to make something happen this year. If they think Amari Cooper still has something left, if they think that he just was not utilized in the correct way in Oakland, and they can bring that out of him, and Scott Linehan can do that in Dallas, I think it's worth the risk. So, you know, it remains to be seen whether it will be. We'll find out, you know, maybe not even this year, but the year after that, he has a the fifth-year option coming out on his contract. So Dallas is going to have to figure out what to do with that in the offseason. Do they extend him? And I'm assuming they will based on the investment they just made in him. But I think it's a worthy risk here. Again, I think Oakland, it's a better move for Oakland in the moment based on the team they are right now. But I think this could help Dallas by the time the season ends.
Yeah, Ted, what's your overall opinion, yeah, from the Raiders side and what John Gruden's doing there and the Davis family? Where do you see this going? Does he have enough money to actually own an NFL franchise? Or is this going to be a money thing the rest of, you know what I mean? Does that make any sense?
Yeah. No, yeah, it does. And I don't think anyone has the answer for that. I mean, it's the first of all, the direction the team's going in terms of personnel is a total question mark. I mean, right now is a tearing down process, right? And then the hope is that John Gruden, whether Reggie McKenzie is part of that or not, will build it back up. And, you know, the moves being made are certainly questionable, but I do think it would be fair to at least let this play out for a couple years, for a couple drafts. I mean, he's going to have three first-round picks next year. See where it goes, and then maybe we can judge it. But in terms of the ownership, and this is part of the reason, you know, Mark Davis has taken the team to Vegas, right? I mean, there's a money factor here. That's also questionable. So, you know, football-wise, this is not a team that's going to compete this year, obviously. This is probably not a team that's going to compete next year, especially if they deal Derek Carr, which a lot of people are thinking they might do. So really, for this team, it's all about when they get to Las Vegas, what do they look like? Isn't it an exciting team? And what do they look like 5 years after that? That's the long game that John Gruden's playing here.
Speaking of Vegas, where are they going to play next year? The new stadium won't be ready. There's a possibility they could stay in Oakland with a lame duck year. I've heard some talk about maybe him going to L.A., going down that route. That's a possibility. Ted, what do you think it is? Where are we going to see the Raiders play in 2019?
That's a good question. Another one that I don't have the answer to. I mean, things are really awkward in Oakland now. I mean, for a lot of reasons. And I think that's what you're referencing here. You know, maybe it's somewhere in Nevada. It's really up in the air at this point. I guess Los Angeles could be an option, but you know, there's that weird stuff going on with the Chargers too, that right. No one in LA wants the Chargers to be there. The Chargers don't want to be there. But then you tease Los Angeles with the Raiders, and then it gets even more awkward with the Chargers, and it's a mess right now. The point is, the NFL is basically, I don't want to say forcing these teams to move, but they're dangling money basically in front of the team owners and, you know, trying to say, hey, we want you here, we want you here. That's how they got two teams in Los Angeles. That's how they're getting a team in Las Vegas. And these are the kind of things they have to figure out when they do it. There's oftentimes when teams move, they have to play in weird stadiums. I remember here in the Carolinas, when the Panthers were established as a franchise, they had to play at Clemson for a year. They had to play like half their season there. So it's certainly not unprecedented for them to find a random stadium to play in for a couple of years, or just 1 year even. So that's certainly a possibility, but as of right now, it's totally up in the air.
Sam Boyd Stadium, UNLV, for a season.
maybe
just put them in London for a year.
But don't tease the NFL. They will probably take you up on that.
Like waking up with football, though, Sunday morning. It's a pretty good start to the day. Hey, Ted, we're out of time. Thanks, as always, for joining us today.
Thanks, guys. Thank you for having me.
Dad Haslam joining us from the Sporting News. You like the morning football? You like the 8 a.m. kickoff here, Central Time?
Oh, gosh, I love it. So I'm rooting for a team in London.
Yeah,
isn't that
yeah.
so great, man?
It
you don't
is.
Have to. You don't have to buy time, you know, until the games come on at noon here. I absolutely loved it and love it, and I would love it going forward. I don't know how realistic that is for a few. I don't know if they're being serious or what. Are they just gauging it?
I think they're trending that direction.
It seemed like they were into it.
Yes.
The crowd. I mean,
yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. The crowds have been good for years now.
They were into it. They seemed like they knew what they, you know. I mean, they were loud, I thought. We were watching it, and I was into it. So I think it'd be cool. But the Raiders thing, and I don't know if you find that interesting or not, but I find John Gruden highly interesting. I find the Davis Al Davis, I found him really weird but interesting. And now his son, does Mark. His son have enough damn money to run a team? It seems like it's always going to be a money thing with him. That, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just like he needs to bring in some other investors or something. I don't know what I'm talking about. It just doesn't seem like he has enough money, and it's always money is going to be always the problem with him. And they're going to possibly get rid of Carr. So what? They're going to take the Oregon quarterback. Or who are the other quarterbacks, Trent?
Oh, that's, I mean, yeah, Herbert's the main one.
Herbert's the main one. I haven't seen enough of him, so I can't give you a true opinion. He looks all right.
Yeah.
But I don't really know. I don't have enough knowledge yet of watching him. Yeah, he looked good. I don't know that he's great, but I'll watch him more.
Back to the local front. We're talking Hawkeyes next. Steve Patterson's going to be stopping by from the Quad City Times on the Hawkeye beat. He joins us next on The Drive.
Every Chiefs football game right here.
Dominate this football game.
The Chiefs radio network lives on 1700.
Let's go, champ!
The Champ. 1700, The Champ, with Central Iowa's most accurate forecast from Local 5.
Well, for tonight, clear, cool, and quiet, a low near 38 degrees. More sunshine for Tuesday. It will be cooler with a high of 55. The clouds roll in on Wednesday, but we keep it dry and cool with a high near 54. I'm Local 5 Chief Meteorologist Brad Edwards.
This report is sponsored by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is simple, so you can understand the details and be sure you're getting the right mortgage. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Visit rocketmortgage.com today. Licensed in all 50 states, equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030. Build your business. At Signorama of Urbandale, we offer customized solutions for signs, branding, marketing, and advertising. We have a full range of custom sign and graphic services to meet your needs, build your brand, and create your image. Look around and you'll see how Andy Woodley and his staff help businesses enhance visibility and get noticed. Let us work with you to understand your unique marketing goals and help you reach them. Signorama of Urbandale, the way to grow your business. 3368 100th Street in Urbandale and online at signorama.com/IA-Urbandale.
Did you know that a well-insulated garage door can keep your garage warmer in the winter? At Advanced Door Systems of Ankeny, we can help you find the garage door that not only has a high R value, but looks great also. Visit our website, ads-doors.com. That's ads-doors.com to learn more about garage door options and styles available from Rainer and CHI. Then contact us for a free quote. Advanced Door Systems, the right door, the right way.
Touchdown!
Don't miss out on tailgates and touchdowns because your car's broke down. Instead, call an audible by calling Absolute Auto Repair, where we offer free loaner cars while yours is in the shop. At Absolute Auto Repair in Urbandale, we get that when your car breaks down, your life is interrupted. That's why we offer loaner cars to keep your busy life moving. Absolute Auto Repair in Urbandale on Hickman Road near Cobblestone Theater. Google Absolute Auto Repair Urbandale. Absolute Auto Repair is a proud supporter of high school football.
Touchdown, Absolute Auto Repair.
Wildwood Hills Ranch is a local nonprofit just 25 minutes south of West Des Moines, serving over 1,000 youth at risk and veterans and their families annually. We would like to invite you to our upcoming events this fall. We have a barn dance in the Quad Cities November 3rd and an Iowa Machine Shed Thanksgiving on Thursday, November 22nd. We hope to see you at one of our upcoming events. For more information, go to wildwoodhillsranch.org.
The Rookie is Central Iowa's leader in sports cards, collectibles, supplies, and memorabilia. The Rookie has a large selection of vintage and modern-day sports cards from brands such as Topps, Upper Deck, and Panini. Whether you're starting a new collection or building your own, The Rookie has all your needs from football, basketball, baseball, hockey, UFC, and more. It's time to collect. Stop by The Rookie, 9992 Swanson Boulevard, right across from the Willis Auto Campus, and online at therookiesportscards.com.
Guys, are you ready to begin your journey to live life better? Are you feeling tired and worn down, or looking to improve performance and drive in the bedroom? Looking to burn fat and gain muscle? Then it's time to contact New Leaf Wellness. New Leaf Wellness offers a free, no-obligation consultation. Dr. Robert Seaman and the New Leaf staff will help craft a plan dedicated to you. From testosterone replacement therapy, advanced weight loss, to nutritional therapy, New Leaf Wellness strives to find the plan that will improve your quality of life. Dr. Robert Seaman and New Leaf Wellness, give them a call today at 515-650-1358. Again, 515-650-1358 for New Leaf Wellness. One more more time, 515-650-1358. It's time to live life better with New Leaf Wellness. Call 515-650-1358. That's 515-650-1358.
Vehicle advertising print wraps can be seen tens of thousands of times a day. If you want to increase your advertising footprint with the full or partial vinyl print wrap on your business vehicle, go to CompleteAutoWraps.com. Complete Auto Wraps also specializes in full color change color wraps. Change the color of your vehicle or add a customized look with a print wrap to your vehicle, motorcycle, or boat. Don't pay big dealership or national sign chain prices when you can get yours installed by a professional trained and certified installer. Contact Corby for more information or a free estimate at CompleteAutoWraps.com.
The Drive with Wolfgang and Trent Condon. Real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 The Champ.
Trent Condon and wannabe Aaron Lewis over here.
I love this song.
You can play this, huh?
Yeah, I can play this.
You like to strum the guitar, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I do.
It's, late at night, couple cocktails in you. That's what Wolfgang.
Yeah. You can practice, you know, go to A, C, E, G, you know, and you don't have to just practice your finger.
Maybe I'll let you bring the guitar in here someday.
All right, if you want to, yeah.
No, not going to happen. Not going to happen. Let's talk Hawkeyes instead. We got Steve Batterson here with us from the Quad City Times. You see him across the state in the newspapers, and he joins us here today. Steve, good afternoon to you. Busy one. We got football. Now we got basketball starting up. Staying busy over there in the Quad Cities?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a great time of year. A lot of stuff going on, no question.
No, there's no doubt. It's a lot of fun. There's so many different things to get into and talk about. So let's do that right now, Steven. Let's start with what we saw on Saturday as Iowa picks up the win 23-0 against Maryland. Maryland team that came in, able to run the football very effectively, throw a whole bunch of different looks at you. As you look at the performance from that Hawkeye defense, what was the biggest thing that stood out to you?
Just the consistency of Iowa's effort. I thought they did a great job of taking away Maryland's sweeps. It had been a real staple of what they had done to this point, and they certainly weren't very successful with them Saturday. And once that went away, the Maryland offense became pretty pedestrian pretty quickly.
I see this, Wolfgang. Good to meet you, sir. Thank you for coming on.
No problem. My pleasure.
Appreciate it. I wanted to talk to you about the game. Trent and I, before the game, it scared me a little bit, the fact that neither of us were worried one bit at all about this game, Steve. And I'm a guy that can find a reason to worry about anything, and I just couldn't find it. Then I'm sitting there watching the game in Kinnick going, I'm even less worried than I thought I was going to be. Did you have the same opinion?
My take on it going into the game was, I felt like Maryland was different enough that it really prevented that from becoming a trap game that it could have been. A couple of nice wins on the road, two big road games coming up now. Normally that's kind of a formula for disaster, but with the misdirection that Maryland ran on offense and kind of the nuances of their offense and kind of some of the nuances of their defense, I think that was enough to kind of catch the attention of Iowa's defensive guys and of Iowa's offensive guys. You had Nate Stanley talking about, you know, how this was going to be the most physical opponent that Iowa had seen all season and going into the game. And you know, those were kind of eye-catching things that I think allowed the Hawkeyes to kind of be locked in on Saturday. We saw that, before Stanley's pick on that opening drive, they moved the ball fairly effectively. And defensively, they just shut them down right from the start. And it was a combination of things. But I think this is an Iowa team that really bought into the notion that this could be a problematic game if they didn't perform well. And they showed up ready to go. And that's been a constant since the start of the season. Iowa has been a solid game day team. They show up and from what Coach Ferentz had to say following the game, that's been kind of the routine in practice, too, that this has been one of those teams that does a pretty good job of preparing and then carrying that over to the weekend.
Steve, you mentioned the comments from Coach Ferentz after the game. He talked about, again, another good week of practice. He's talked about that a lot this season. In fact, I think every week he has said they had a good week of practice. That's not always the case. Is there something different about this team, something internal? Because it really does feel like Kirk Ferentz is having a real fun time coaching this group.
he seems to enjoy this group a lot. And I think it starts with the fact that it is a fairly small senior class. There's 13 guys, and, you know, I think they had to buy in pretty quickly. It's, you know, there was enough disappointment last year, I think, that, you know, there were some fresh reminders of you know, maybe what could have been if things would have been a little better. I think that has helped. And yeah, going back to January, I mean, he had every opportunity, has complimented this group on the leadership that they're getting from their senior class and from how some of those underclassmen are buying into what the seniors are pitching to them. And, you know, that combination, it's worked out pretty well. And I think the fact that in a lot of areas, this is kind of a starless team. It's a very workmanlike group. And you know, to what he has been saying, that work has been, you know, in the weight room in the off season and on the practice field so far this fall. And, you know, to a man, they really haven't disappointed from one week to the next.
You're with Steve Betterson. Trent and Ken Miller today, they're on from 11 to 1 now. They were talking, they brought up something that if Kirk Ferentz had a great season, Trent, you've been hearing maybe that there would be a possibility among your friends that he would maybe say, call it a career?
No, it's not even among my friends. It's just I've heard that out mm-hmm. there that Kirk Ferentz is 63 years old. He's going to retire at some point, and if he's ever going to do it, leaving on top. I think if you give Hayden Fry some truth serum, he would have left after 1995, but
yeah.
Senior class talked him into coming back. Steve, is that a realistic possibility if Iowa goes on and wins a Big Ten championship, if they get to a college football, but whatever it may be, could you see Kirk stepping aside, or is he just having too much fun like we were talking about before?
A lot of ifs, yeah.
Yeah.
you know, and I think that's one reason probably that, you know, the thought is a little premature at this point, because there's certainly a lot of hurdles still out there for Iowa to deal with. And, you know, I think the one thing with Kirk is I think he really enjoys what he's doing at this point. He surrounded himself with a good staff that, you know, does a solid job in terms of preparing his players for competition. I don't see him necessarily in a hurry to ride off into the sunset. He's still got his health. You know, he's having some fun, I think, coaching with his son. I don't discount that for a minute either. I think that, you know, they're just in a very good situation right now. And, you know, there will be a point in time somewhere down the road that, you know, that it maybe does become a little more laborious than what it is right now. But, you know, I think at this point, I think he's still got a couple good years left in him. And I think that's, you know, I think that's just kind of in his approach. There's no question he's really comfortable with this team. I think that that's, you know, that makes it, for lack of a better term, it makes it fairly easy on a coach. Nothing's easy, obviously, in football or winning Big Ten football games. But I think this particular group, and it's still a relatively young team in a lot of ways. I think that he just likes being around them, and I think that's what we're getting is more a reflection of that than anything.
Yeah, Steve, is there anything watching this team, maybe the last couple games, do you go, well, if they do this better, this takes them to the next level? We're all kind of watching Alabama, kind of rolling our eyes going, oh, boy, this is not going to be fun. But who knows? They've said that about teams in the past that end up losing. Is there one or two things that you look at this Iowa team, boy, and go, this could take Iowa to the next level if they improve on this?
Well, you know, certainly I think the development of the combination of the pass and the run, I think, has been very, you know, advantageous for Iowa so far. I think that the run defense is certainly at a level that, you know, will win you a lot of football games. And, you know, I think growth on the back end of the defense, I think, is still an area where Iowa has some improvements to make. And, you know, some of that, frankly, it can be, you know, attributed to kind of a health and inexperience thing. I mean, you've got a couple of freshmen in Brents and Riley Moss who are doing some really good things right now for being true freshmen. But when they're, you know, able to develop that consistency that it takes to, you know, to kind of consistently, you know, take their game to the next level, that's only going to help Iowa down the road. You know, obviously the linebackers have been fluid with the injury situations there. Once those guys are all back, and it was good to see Jack Hockaday return to the depth chart today in kind of a backup role, but at least they're getting closer to that. And, you know, I think Iowa will reach its peak when it's at full strength. And, you know, being without Brady Ross, I don't think can be discounted. I think he's a you know, a veteran fullback who's had some success in helping make the run game go, although Austin Kelly stepped in and did fine against Maryland. But I think when you get to that level, when you're talking about beating the Penn States, when you're talking about maybe playing in a Big Ten championship game, you want to have all your horses. And Iowa has been able to avoid major injuries so far. And as long as they can do that with the schedule that still lays out in front of them, they certainly have a chance to enjoy some more success.
Steve, last couple minutes here with you. Let's jump into some basketball news over the weekend. Luka Garza is back. A picture tweeted out from the Iowa basketball Twitter account today. Garza back out there on the floor. What's a realistic expectation, at least early on? Is it going to be Luka Garza eased into things, maybe limited minutes, or all systems go? What are you hearing on Garza?
I would sure think that, you know, initially anyway, that they're going to take it a little easy with him. I don't think you want to push it right out of the chute, but, you know, there's still a couple weeks before the exhibition season arrives, and, you know, just a few days beyond that, the start of the season. So, you know, I would expect probably within a month that he'll be at full speed and doing the things that, you know, are expected of him and that people have come to expect from him. He's going to be a key contributor to Iowa on the inside, and it certainly, I think, is, you know, the sooner they can get him healthy and get him back out there, that's a good thing. And you know, with his return to the court, that's a step in the right direction.
You're with Steve Batterson. Steve, the defense, obviously, hardcore problem last year. It was a little ridiculous. I am of the opinion, though, if you need a culture change, and your coach is openly admitting that he hasn't emphasized defense in the past and that is going to be the thing that he is emphasizing, he's saying it to the media, he's practicing it. I think that Iowa can make a big jump in defense. So I'm hopeful. Do you see that? Have you seen that over the years, that somebody can go from just stinking at defense to now it's something that the whole program understands how big and how we have – Iowa has to be good at defense in order to have the season they want. Can they make that change, Steve?
I think it's possible to make that kind of a jump, and it does start with the message that's being delivered on a daily basis. It can't just be lip service. It's got to be action. You know, one of the things that we're not seeing, because we're not at practice every day, but is, you know, if players aren't performing at the level defensively that Fran wants to see them on the practice court, is he taking action at that point?
Exactly.
If he is, then there's a chance that's going to, you know, take a culture of its own within the team, and that there will be results. There certainly needs to be. I think, you know, when you look at a 4-14 Big Ten record, something wasn't right. Iowa scored plenty of points last season. They just gave up way too many. And, you know, and to a man, I think that should be a pretty easy visual for them to understand. And, you know, it takes buy-in from every individual. And if they do that, I think they have a chance to be a much-improved defensive team. Will it be enough to move them up substantially in the Big Ten? Time will tell. But certainly it starts with just doing the little things right. And that becomes a consistency thing. It's a willingness to defend and a willingness to get back and be in the right position to do what you're asked to do.
Steve, as always, thank you for your time. Steve Batterson with the Quad City Times. We'll do it again soon. Thank you.
Hey, you bet. My pleasure. Take care.
Thanks, Steve.
Good stuff out of Steve, as always. Love talking Hawkeyes with him. And busy guy. He was at St. Ambrose today at Media Day for the Fighting Bees.
Well, did he do that for no reason? Why did you not ask him any questions, Trent Condon?
I don't know how many Bees fans there are in the market. I was saving it for you. I was helping my partner out. It didn't work out very well. 1 hour of the books. The top 5 at 5 is next on The Champ.
Wake up with the all-new morning show on 1700 The Champ. Taz and the Moose. Every weekday morning from 5 to 8. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
It's green, moron.
Come on, move it, you clowns.
1700 The Champ. Right now, traffic.
We've got a couple of things going on in the metro right now. First of all, we have an accident on 86th Street going southbound at Northwest 62nd Avenue. And then we have another accident on East 14th at Arthur Avenue. Finally, we had another accident that just popped up on Jordan Creek Parkway going northbound at Westtown Parkway. And it looks like that's backed up traffic to Vista Drive. If you're that way, delays could be up to 5 minutes. And that's your look at traffic. Drive safe out there, Des Moines, and have a great afternoon.
This report is sponsored by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is simple so you can understand the details and be sure you're getting the right mortgage. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Visit rocketmortgage.com today. Licensed in all 50 states, equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
Thinking about selling your home soon? Listen up, as this will save you big money. Charterhouse Real Estate is a full-service real estate firm that has eliminated the typical 6 or 7% commission structure that you are used to. We charge sellers $24.95 plus 3%. We know, math stinks, so think about it like this. If you were selling a $200,000 house, you would save roughly $3,500 with us versus a 6% commission. If your home is $400,000, the savings would be $9,500. The best part, you get the savings while still getting all the service. Professional photography, a short 3-month contract, social media marketing, sign and lockbox, all major real estate websites, and of course, your home will be on the MLS as well. Get it all and save money. We like the sound of that. Learn more at charterhouseiowa.com or search for us on Google. And while you're there, make sure to check out our hundreds of 5-star reviews. That's charterhouseiowa.com.
Charterhouse Real Estate is a team office under Space Simply.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company, and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we don't just show up with a dumpster and trailer in your driveway. We arrive with a business card in hand, ready to take care of your home. Whether it's a simple roof repair, a complete re-roofing project, or a new construction project, Wolf Construction can handle the job. Call Wolf Construction at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. We're a roofing machine.
Are you interested in starting a new franchise? You can find a lawyer right here in the state of Iowa to help with your franchise law needs. Rush Nigget with Brick Gentry Law PC provides law services for those involved in starting a new franchise. Find more information online at rushonbusiness.com, where Rush Nigget can assist you in buying or starting a new franchise. A presenting sponsor of the 2018 high school football season on 1700 KBGG. Brick Gentry Law PC and Rush Nigget.
This year, it's our year. The year we win it all. This is the year the flag flies. For wins. For big games. For titles. This is the year you fly the colors of your favorite team.
These colors? These colors mean everything.
And you'll find those colors at Heartland Flagpoles and Flags. The largest selection of team flags anywhere. Football, basketball, hockey, NASCAR, and more. Shop 3719 Southwest 9th Des Moines or heartlandflags.com.
Everyone is a champion in their own way, but aches and pains can make you want to give up on your training or workouts. Instead of relying on pain medication to power through, stay active with help from Champions Recovery Room and Physical Therapy. They give you a personal touch to work towards your own wellness goals. With athletic recovery programs to outpatient orthopedic therapy, Angela Spencer PT of Champions Recovery Room will get you feeling your best. Champions Recovery Room and Physical Therapy, 3030 100th Street in Urbandale, and online at championsrecoveryroom.com.
Hi, I'm Janice Lane, CEO of Children and Families of Iowa. This year, Children and Families of Iowa is celebrating our 130th anniversary. Over the years, our mission has remained the same, to work collectively to restore hope, build futures, and change lives for children and families throughout Iowa. Visit us at CFI.
1700, The Champ.